June is Dairy Month, and we're going to talk about that this morning. We're joined by Monica Nyman with the St. Louis District Dairy Council. Monica, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks for coming in here this morning. I say it's been a while. We used to see each other somewhat regularly before, but I think the last couple of times, either like last year when you came up in June, I was gone on vacation.
Yeah.
And then Jim was here, and then he was leaving for a permanent vacation.
He was, yeah.
So, again, thanks for being here with us here this morning. Well,
sure.
June is National Dairy Month, as we said. Well, talk about that. Why June in particular? Kind of how that all came about.
Well, this was actually celebrated back in 1937,
wow,
which is kind of amazing to think that it's been around that long. And it was called National Milk Month. And it was really called that as a way to help distribute that extra milk. The cows started grazing on that green grass in the summertime, and they were producing a little bit of extra milk. And back in 1939, they changed the name to June Dairy Month. We've been calling it that ever since. So for over 80 years now, June has been a month for us to really honor our hardworking dairy farmers for all of the work. This morning, I was driving early, and it was getting ready to storm, you know, around the Peoria area. And I was actually thinking about all those farmers that were out milking their cows in the lightning, you know. But it's also a great time for us to remind our consumers and all of our listeners on our radio stations really how important dairy is in a healthy diet.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the dairy farmers. I still remember first time ever in, I probably was in junior high, and I don't remember what class, if it was an ag class or something. Anyway, a field trip to a local dairy farm outside of Oneida, and I still remember the fresh milk was, I like 37 degrees, and homemade chocolate chip cookies, like the best milk I've ever had in my life. Like, oh, it was so good. And then my brother actually at some point worked for that farmer for a while, so I remember going out and helping him with some things a couple times. It's just a really amazing operation how that all comes about.
Yeah, and we try, and I'll kind of talk about some of our programs in just a little bit, but we really try to expose kids to the dairy farm, and that's one of our big missions, is really educating them on what happens on a dairy farm. And just like you, they will remember those experiences for years and years, and maybe tell that story in 30 or 40 years from then. So.
Absolutely. It's been about that long for me, too, since that happened. Monica Nyman, St. Louis District Dairy Council. Talk about your role with the Dairy Council. How long you've been with them, and kind of what your role is.
Okay, so we are the St. Louis District, and sometimes that's confusing to our listeners. So because we're the district, I actually work out of our office in Bloomington. So I cover 27 counties. I work a lot with schools, of course, media. I have several radio stations that you may hear me on throughout the month. We work with health professionals. So I do visit. I'm a registered dietitian, and I do visit with other dietitians in the area, whether at hospitals or wellness centers, grocery stores. I work a lot with the farmers. We support them with any type of tours that they're doing, and really just to help dispel myths related to dairy. And then I do a lot of work with consumers. So, you know, overall, my job is to teach people about healthy eating and how dairy fits into a healthy diet. But the St. Louis Dairy Council also offers a lot of really great no-cost resources to anyone in our service territory. And I'm the furthest north in Illinois. I go up to about Bureau and LaSalle County. We pretty much cover the rest of the state south. Anyone is eligible to participate in our programs and eligible to request our materials. And all of that information is available on our website. So we'll talk about that at the end. But make sure that you check that out to see all of the things that we do on behalf of local dairy farmers.
So you pretty much cover everything south of I-80 then?
Yes.
Wow. That is a big territory.
Yeah, and we have another satellite office in Springfield. And so she's a relatively new dietitian with the St. Louis Dairy Council. We were talking a lot about people here retiring. Her predecessor, Joyce, was with the St. Louis Dairy Council for over 40 years. And so she just retired last fall. Jill covers Springfield South, and then we have a portion of Missouri that is our service territory as well.
You mentioned some of the different programs. You kind of talk about some of those you do and kind of some of your favorites you kind of work with.
So a couple of my favorite programs that I have been implementing with the St. Louis Dairy Council, and I'm glad you kind of brought up your experience with farm tours. Every year we offer a fall farm tour mentor to graduate students who are planning to become dietitians. So I've been a dietitian for the last 15 years. When I was in school, I was never exposed really to agriculture or being able to go on the farm to learn from the farmers. So that's something that we offer to these graduate students every year. We kind of rotate from the St. Louis colleges to the Central Illinois colleges, and it really just gives those students an eye-opening experience, and it educates them better so that they can take that information and pass it along to their consumers. Because people have questions, and whenever you're talking about diet, you know, dairy is an important role in the diet. Another program that I really enjoy working with is the resources that we provide for our health professionals. So, for example, back in March, which was National Nutrition Month, we developed a whole kit based on the DASH diet, which is a heart-healthy diet plan. And I was able to meet with dietitians here in Galesburg at the grocery store, at the hospital, and provide those resources for those dietitians to use in their practice. So I always enjoy meeting with colleagues and being able to provide science-based information to them. And then finally, I have a laundry list of favorite programs, but the last one I wanted to mention was we do have a great partnership with our family and consumer science teachers. So that's the old word for that was home ec, if you remember right. That from school. And we have a reimbursement program. So if they use dairy in their classes, we reimburse them for those funds. And the reason that I really enjoy that program is because that's where I became interested in nutrition. And I always tell the high school students that, you know, right now you're not thinking about careers, or maybe you are, but don't forget about nutrition. It's a really hot topic, and a lot of people are interested in studying that. And look at all the different jobs you can do in the nutrition world. So I really enjoy those three programs. But we have a lot of other things that we offer to our area as well.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned the change, what used to be home ec, because even when I was in school, they started at some point, well, you know, guys need to, what if they live on their own? They need to learn how to cook and do these things. So they had a class called Bachelor's Living. By the time I took it in 1970, it must have been, was my junior, so it would have been 78, 79, it became Singles Living, because the girl's like, well, I don't want to take home ec, but I want one class to learn this stuff. So there was girls and guys in the class. It was Singles Living at that point, and with everything, you know, sewing and cooking and everything, and diet and those type of things. So I guess also you mentioned as a dietitian, not, like you said, not ever having been on the farm and looking at what happened, that knowing where the food comes and how it gets there,
right,
that's got to be a big thing for you, because especially in this day and age, questions about whether it's GMOs or pasteurization, that stuff you have to know now.
Absolutely. And I think just that the on-farm practices, and like you mentioned, where your food is coming from, you know, those are questions that people really want to know. And it's always amazing to be able to educate these students on really that process. Whenever milk leaves the farm, and by the time it gets to the grocery store, all of the different steps that it goes through to ensure that it's a very safe, high-quality product. And actually, last year, our group of about almost 30 interns, our graduate students, were able to tour the processing plant over in Peoria as well. And that's always
Prairie Farms, is that?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And it's a really fascinating environment, because you're able to see exactly what happens. And they met with, you know, the lab people, and really they explained that whole process. And I think that's so educational, and consumers do have questions. And if you have, you know, reliable information that's science-based, and you said, hey, guess what? I've actually been to the processing plant. It just makes you a lot more credible. So I really enjoy being able to pass that information on to those students.
Monica Nyman with the St. Louis District Dairy Council joining us this morning. June is Dairy Month. And, you know, you think about dairy and going back. I do remember as a time, and I can't imagine what it tastes like now, but I didn't think really twice about it as a kid so much that, you know, milk was expensive at times. And it's really not that bad now. I mean, because you can find some good deals on it. But powdered milk, and I don't know if that's how big a thing that still is, but that's one I remember drinking the powdered milk at some point in my childhood.
Yeah, and you know, when we reflect back as kids, I really think that dairy is a part of everyone's childhood.
Yeah.
And with my family, you know, we used to make homemade ice cream. We had a lot of Sunday dinners, and you know, people kind of get away from that now in time, but we would always make homemade ice cream, and it was just something that I remember. It just tastes so different from the store-bought ice cream.
The thing I remember about that, because we would have that too, how cold it was in the brain
freeze.
Oh,
I know, yes. And it melts so quickly.
Yes,
So homemade ice cream is always just a solid foundation of my childhood. But you bring up the powdered milk, and I have that on my list of childhood memories here. And someone a couple of days ago said, oh, one of Monica's most favorite dairy memories. I said, well, it wasn't really my most favorite dairy memory, but my dad used to drink powdered milk. And I don't know, maybe it was a budget thing where the powdered milk was a little bit cheaper when I was growing up. But I remember that half gallon. I remember the wooden spoon that he would stir it with. And it had to be really, really cold in order for me to be able to drink it. So powdered milk was a part of my childhood. And then the final sort of memory that I have as a kid is my mom was always a really good cook. I think that's another reason why I was interested in nutrition and learning how to cook. But she used to make homemade custard. And you know how you put nutmeg on custard, you know, when you're baking, and it just has that really unique smell. And we didn't use nutmeg for a lot of other dishes. So I have just a lot of really great memories remembering those little custard dishes and fresh homemade custard, you know, on a weekend or with as a dessert for an evening meal. So those are just sort of some of my childhood memories that I have related to dairy.
Well, you talk about nutrition. Obviously, dairy is a big part of that, and that we should get, what, 3 servings a day? But most of us aren't getting that, which is almost surprising, depending, I guess. So I guess the big thing, what constitutes a serving? And I have to admit now that I don't drink as much milk as I used to, and I've been drinking skim milk for a long time. And some people don't like it at all. I remember Jim and I, when Jim Lee was here, we talked about that because we both would eat cereal in the morning, and I've had skim on mine, and I think he had 2%. But I can tell such a difference between 2%, and then we get to vitamin D, that how much thicker and everything it seems.
Yeah.
Not that the taste is that much different, but skim, I think, is a little watery for some people. So what constitutes a serving of dairy?
Okay, well, you did hit it on the nail there. 3 servings of dairy per day is what is recommended by the dietary guidelines. And a serving of dairy is a cup of milk, so 8 fluid ounces, a cup of yogurt, or 2 ounces of cheese. And, you know, there are a lot of different reasons that all kind of combine together of why people are not reaching that. And honestly, in my opinion, it's just that there are so many other options. A lot of people don't eat breakfast these days. It's like, I'm not really sure how they do that, because that's not something that I'm able to do.
Same here. I used to be that way, but not anymore. I have to have something on it. Like I said, normally it's cereal.
Yeah. So people, if they're not eating breakfast, that's really a great opportunity for people to have dairy, because you can put milk on cereal or have yogurt. But there's also a lot of other beverages out there on the market these days. So people, you know, tend to try new things or pick other different types of beverages. But 3 servings of dairy per day. And just as a reminder, you know, dairy is a powerhouse of nutrition. It has a ton of stuff in it, all things that are essential for a healthy diet. Protein. We know that protein is a hot word in nutrition. It helps keep you fuller for longer, which eventually will help prevent you from overeating and snacking and hopefully lose a little bit of weight. But it also has calcium in it, which we know is important for the heart and for bones and for all different types of things. A couple of things that I just wanted to mention, though, to listeners is that, you know, dairy is a local food. Most dairy takes only about 48 hours to get from the farm to the grocery store. And those farmers, you know, their ultimate goal is to sell high quality milk. So they take really great care of their cows. Most dairy farms are just family owned, multi-generational dairy farms that have around an average of about 150 cows. So most of them are pretty, you know, smaller operations. But the farmers really go to lots of lengths to make sure that those cows are taken very well care of. So those are just some things that I wanted to point out, that I wanted listeners to know about dairy foods.
Yeah, as far as the nutrition, when it comes to milk in particular, like I said, I drink skim. Is there, and obviously, I know there are differences in some things like vitamin D milk, obviously heavier than that in vitamin D than 2% or skim or whole or whatever. Is there a difference, like as far as like the calcium and the protein, is there a difference from skim to 2% to whole?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So all milk has the same nutrition. So okay. The same calcium, the same protein. The only difference between whole milk and skim milk is that they're taking the fat out of it.
Okay.
And that's going to result in less calories for you. And, you know, as a dietitian, we do recommend low fat or fat-free dairy options. However, there is a lot of research coming out that supports that the fat in whole milk and whole milk dairy products can actually be protective of diabetes and heart disease, which is absolutely fascinating.
That is.
So I would expect in the next, 5 years or so for more information to come out about that. And I really think that the more natural the food is, that it doesn't affect the system as much as we once thought it did. It's more of the trans fats and things that are very processed that are affecting heart and cholesterol and things of that nature. So stay tuned for updated information in that area. But really, it's just the calories that are different from that skim milk versus the 2% or whole.
And obviously, up to a certain age with your kids, the higher fat content is good for
them.
Is
recommended, yes. Yeah,
Two to three years.
Okay. And I would just work with your pediatrician because some kids may need changes at different age levels. But the reason for that is because they're so growing and their brain is developing and they do need those extra fat calories.
Monica Nyman with the St. Louis District Dairy Council joining us here this morning. June is Dairy Month. Just kind of be aware, 3 servings a day is what we need. So basically you're talking about an 8-ounce glass of milk. That's the easy fix. And a glass of milk, you have that maybe with your cereal or maybe a little extra in the morning with each meal. I do if I eat peanut butter and jelly, I always do have a glass of milk with it, but I don't do that often anymore. So I don't always do that. So what are maybe some other suggestions to help if you're not, or some people that either they don't might not like the taste of milk?
Sure.
What are the kind of the other options to get your servings in?
Okay, there's lots of different opportunities. One of the reasons for that is because dairy pairs well with every single other food group that there is, and there's also a huge variety in the grocery store. So we do have a couple recipes this month that you can find on our website. One of them is for overnight oatmeal, and that actually has milk and yogurt in it, so you can get a full serving of dairy with that. It also has fiber from the oatmeal. You can choose foods from the dairy food group for like milk in the morning, cheese with a snack, and maybe yogurt with your lunch. So that would give you 3 servings of dairy. You can also make dips with dairy. So don't forget to use it in your cooking because you can make really great vegetable dips with plain yogurt and add seasonings and spices to that. You can also make fruit dips. So even just a carton of yogurt or container of yogurt, dip some fresh apple slices in there. Grapes pair really well with that. You can use any flavor, any brand. It gives it just a little bit of a sweet taste. One thing that I actually do a lot in the morning is I put milk in my coffee. So I probably get at least a half of a serving of dairy just by making like a simple latte. It's just strong brewed coffee, and I'll either put chocolate milk in it or white milk. And so it gives me some extra calcium when I'm drinking my coffee in the morning. Smoothies are actually really popular these days. We have a lot of schools that are serving smoothies for breakfast. Milk, any flavor yogurt, and frozen fruit or fresh fruit with ice. You can blend that up in your blender. You can make a lot of different combinations with that. And then cheese, of course, does have a smaller portion size, but it's great with eggs. You can put it on your sandwiches. I love any kind of cheese and can probably eat it at any time during the day. But again, it pairs well with vegetables. It pairs well with fruits and whole grain crackers. So those are some different options for listeners on trying to strive for your 3 servings of dairy per day, again, as recommended by the dietary guidelines.
Yeah, and for me, some people say, well, I really put cheese on like your broccoli. No, because you need the calcium. But for me, I don't want to ruin the taste of the cheese, though.
Right.
So I keep the broccoli away from it. Yeah.
But that can actually, for your kids, if it takes adding a little bit of cheese to it to get them to try something, that's a really great tool that I use at home for my kids.
And even like with dressings also, you can find yogurt-based, like ranch dressing, actually it tastes pretty good.
Yeah, and you can find a lot of recipes that use yogurt instead of mayonnaise. We actually have a whole program called the Yogurt Swap, which is available on our website, and it shows how you can use plain yogurt instead of the mayonnaise or the sour cream or the oil in a lot of your your different cooking recipes.
STLDairyCouncil.org is the website. I'm sure if you Google St. Louis District Dairy Council, you'll find the information. And they're on Facebook as well, STL Dairy Council. Monica Nyman with the St. Louis District Dairy Council. Monica, anything else we need to know during Dairy Month here this this month of June?
No, I just wanted to say again, happy June Dairy Month to everyone. And again, thank you to all of our local dairy farmers who are just really such hard workers. I really enjoy working with them and working on their behalf as a dietitian for the St. Louis Dairy Council.
Monica, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it this morning.
You're welcome.